following through from what we were talking about yesterday and then that special meeting and press conference yesterday evening. I want to speak to political commentator Eamon Malley in a moment, but I want to remind you just of one question that Ken Reid, our political editor, put to Jonathan Powell yesterday.
They're not disbanding. I mean, you said in there, they're not disbanding. Why not?
I think it would actually be daft to disband, personally. If I look around the world at organisations from Spain to El Salvador to the Philippines, you actually need someone to have that title as long as they're not engaged in violence and not engaged in criminality. If they don't have that violence, you're going to face a real UVF and a continuity UDA. Do you really want that? No, we don't. So I think continuity of those organisations is a good thing as long as we're clear we're drawing a line, no more violence, no more criminality.
So do they really need to have that title that Jonathan Powell is referring to there or not? Let me speak to Eamon Malley, political commentator, was there at that first press conference 21 years ago, even when Gusty Spence was making it. You could hear Eamon dictating it down the line to news organisations and news agencies. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Eamon, this whole point, just first of all, on them not standing down because there might be a continuity or real organisation that would grow from them. Do you buy into that?
Just exposes the whole laughability of Northern Ireland. Here we had unionism for the last six weeks. We had the collapse of the executive. We had ministers pulled out of the executive on this very point because George Hamilton said that members of these people were involved, of the IRA were involved in the killing of a man in the Short Strand area, and their structures obtained. And we have had democracy paralysed here. We have the health department left without a minister, which was the most ludicrous, bad judgment by the first minister, in my opinion. Above all departments, to pull the health minister out. Now the loyalists come out and say, yes, we do exist. Now, everybody knew this. With whom does anyone think? And I wrote this on Twitter last week. With whom does anyone think the police really is when there's any trouble of any manifestation on the Shankill Road with those organisations? It's mandatory. It has to happen. Those are the people in the area who exercise influence, and that's why the police deal with them. So Jonathan Powell, in many ways, is stating a truism. What he's saying is factual. Now, but the caveat is there must be an end to all criminality and all manifestations of violence. That's the caveat, and that's the challenge. Will there be an end to it? Will criminality cease? Will extortion cease? We will know very, very quickly, because we know businessmen in the community who cannot exist and operate in some of these areas unless they pay. Now, in 3 months' time, if they're not paying, then fair due, fair play to the loyalists. I say fair play to all of those people because they are putting into practice what they declared yesterday.
Are we a step closer to the UDA, the UVF and the Red Hand Commando being legal organisations?
Well, the way Jonathan Powell was talking, it certainly seems to be almost tolerable that it could go down that direction. But the tests are there. Will they prove themselves? The other big question is, Frank, and this is a very serious question. It's not as if the police don't know what's going on in these communities. The police know precisely what's going on in these communities. Billy Hutchison was talking about no tolerance of drug dealers. Does anyone seriously think that the police don't know who is involved in drugs in those areas? This is why this is an imponderable, it's a conundrum. Then the other thing is, how does anyone think that education in those areas is going to be resolved or infrastructure is going to be put in place without funding? Now, last week I had a very, very considerable pleasure, I have to say, of walking the length of the Shankill Road. I was invited very generously by Plum Smith and other people to be present for the unveiling of the sculpture of Willie Connor, who lived on the Shankill Road for many, many years on the corner of Humber Street. And I was treated regally, I have to say. But at the same time, looking at what's going on and what has happened, particularly in the lower Shankill area, how is an area like that going to be rescued? The other thing is, this talk about improving educational standards. How is educational standards going to improve without money being pumped into those areas? Secondly, I don't see how that's going to happen unless there's an open access policy where you remove all the barriers and the barricades and the hurdles at 11 and access children to a higher quality education. And if that means opening the doors of St. Malachy's, opening the doors of INST, Metairie, etc. Unless those doors are open to those kids, without all these barriers of tests and all of that type of thing, I don't see how you're going to change anything there. I really don't care. Without money being pumped in, and you could talk until the cows come home, unless there's some sort of a Marshall Plan, in my opinion, in areas like that, nothing's going to change, no matter what anyone says.
Now, the people who represented loyalism, who didn't speak yesterday, but who were very evident they were very evident by their presence there yesterday afternoon. They're obviously clearly buying into this initiative, or they wouldn't be putting their faces to it. But what about those who don't buy into it? Are they just simply going to be seen crystal clearly as criminals, or are they going to set up this continuity UDA or real UVF and claim that they're the real protectors of the Protestant people under threat from dissident Republicans?
Well, you should have to listen to some of the Democratic Unionist Party representatives of East Belfast who talk about what's going on in East Belfast overtly. Now, the problems are not uniquely outside or on the fringes of paramilitarism and these organisations. The problems in terms of abuses are taking place inside these organisations, just as in the case of the killing of Kevin McGuigan. We're now told that those were mainstream Republican. Now, these are the problems which are very, very difficult to grapple with these problems if these structures are still in place within loyalism and within republicanism. As the Chief Constable argues it to be factual, then if these organisations themselves are culpable of some of this high-level criminality, then where do we start and where do we end? Is this a serious initiative? Well, I don't think this, until we see what works out on the ground and what takes place on the ground, it's very, very, very difficult to evaluate and assess it. Now, I think most right-thinking people will be quite pleased at this development. And I remember David McNary telling me about this a long, long time ago, where something had to be done. And I must say, fair play to David McNary. He gets kicked about a lot in the Assembly. But it seems to me that the quasi-independents in the Assembly are much more effective and much more connected with communities, people like Jim Allister, particularly because of the campaign he's pioneered for this ambulance, our ambulance, in the wake of that saintly doctor who actually saved so many lives. It's interesting to see people like this, like McNary and Jim Allister, taking initiatives, meaningful initiatives, and giving something back and putting something meaningful back into the communities. And long may that reign.
Just on the Assembly, Eamon, and I was listening to Ken Reid yesterday on the TV reminding us that the PUP have some councillors, but the only show in town is Stormont. Is this the first step for the likes of the PUP to get representation at Stormont? With the next Assembly election, do you think you'll see a bounce in their vote? Will they get the working class loyalist out to vote for them?
Well, that's the challenge. That is the imponderable. You know, well, hold on. Let me put something to you, Frank. Now, this is something that wasn't highlighted. In East Belfast, where you have organisations, the DUP put two rapporteurs on the ground to liaise with those so-called hard men, but 18 months ahead of the Westminster election, to make sure that that seat was won back. Now, I asked the question, why did those organisations and the political representatives of those organisations, why did they allow themselves to be cajoled to buy into that? Now, how do I know this? Because one of the rapporteurs told me that that's what was going on, that he was one of the appointees. So that's just a matter of... Let me raise another very, very significant, but maybe deemed an insignificant point. I've just listened to your traffic report there, Frank. I listen to Good Morning Ulster's traffic report every morning. I listen to the traffic reports in the evening. Do all snarl-ups traffic-wise happen out at Sandy Knowes roundabout? Or on the M1 Banbridge Belfast thing? When did you hear of a traffic jam on the Shankill Road? When did you hear on our radio, on our televisions, on our communication systems of snarl-ups on the Falls Road, on the Shankill Road? We treat those people as second-class citizens. I'll give you another example of it. I was over on the Shankill Road last week, as I said.
Just on that, let me stop you there, because I want to be clear on this. Are you suggesting that the people in charge of traffic and travel, those who are tasked with, at the central unit in Belfast, who provide us with our information and who provide the BBC with their information, that they're only interested in that plethora of roads, the Newtonards Road, the Sandy Nose Roundabout, the M1, the M2, the West Link, that they're not casting an eye on the hold-ups that exist in working class areas?
I look at everything forensically. I listen to the traffic reports daily, evening and morning. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard, except there was a bomb scare at the bottom of the Shankill Road, or a bomb scare on the Falls Road. I'm only pointing out there's an attitude. I'll tell you another thing. William Connor and Frank McKelvey both lived, and Marky Robinson lived on the Crumlin Road. They all lived. These are some of the most celebrated artists in our midst here. There's an exhibition in the Epic Centre, on the Shankill Road, of Prince of William Connor's paintings. Why has the Arts Council not mounted a full-blown exhibition of William Connor's works in that community centre on the Shankill Road? Why, for example, Gerard Dillon, one of the most celebrated artists on this island, why have we no major exhibition in West Belfast of William Connor's works? Now, there is this attitude outside those areas, and the dilemma is, far too often, people who climb out of that society just don't put anything back into that society. So there's a whole attitude here, and there's a whole re-educational process necessary by all of us outside Frank to go back into those areas to examine and see what can be done. Like, a very intelligent man was with me the other day, and he's worked all over those areas. He's done building on the Shankill Road, North Belfast, and he is of the opinion, short of a Marshall Plan, there is no solution to those areas. Now, when there was a plan in place to regenerate that whole north end of the city here, including a Frank Gehry International Modern Museum, which would have acted as an anchor there, which would have been a backdrop to the Shankill to the Falls Road and the university down there now where it is. That would have been a wonderful opportunity to rehabilitate that with the courthouse and all that, that whole area. Where did Nigel Dodds direct the investment? Down to the House of Fraser and give the business to a Dutch firm initially. They flipped it and gave it to a German, sold it over to a German company.
So in a long-winded...
This is the attitude.
Yeah, but in a long-winded and incredibly eloquent way, you are saying that the working class, yet again, are being ignored.
There's not a doubt about it, Frank. I mean, I go out onto the ground to meet these people. I see these people in the areas in which they live. I've been in and out of those areas for 35 years. And it's the attitude. The traffic is the biggest manifestation, the most obvious manifestation of how those people are treated. Traffic jams on the Falls Road or the Shankill Road, they don't matter. Oh, Malone Road, you'll always hear about Malone, because that's where the cameras are. Now, I suspect there aren't even cameras on the Shankill Road or the Falls Road to capture those log jams. The central control, there is a central control unit, and people can sit and watch at a distance what's going on. But why do we not hear any of the traffic on the Shankill Road? Why do we not hear any on traffic on the Falls Road? These are very significant questions, and that's the attitude which obtains outside those areas. It's over there.
Okay, Eamon, listen, you've raised a whole raft of issues on the back of the question that I asked you. Why are the UDA, the UVF and the Red Hand Commando not disbanding? But you've traced it back to working class issues and indeed working class people not getting their children properly educated and not going out to vote either.
Frank, let me just say, I'm the one person, the one academic who has fingered this correctly in Queen's University, he's an Englishman, and a very, very brilliant Englishman, is Professor John Brewer. He's the one man who has crystallised the problem of Northern Ireland in one hand, and that is a class problem. And it's a bigger problem now within unionism. And the other very interesting thing, Frank, which I should point out, the cross-sectoral interest now of the business community within the Catholic wealthier, better-off Catholic community, that interest now is coinciding with the interest within the political and the upper tier of Protestant community. And we're seeing that working out in the whole Cerberus NAMA world. There's a crossover between the upper tier of the Catholic National Society, business-wise, with the political classes and the business classes within the unionist community. That's a fascinating change, unchallenged, untapped at this point in time. Nobody has even observed what's going on here at that level of society. With the people of the Shankill Road and the people of Turf Lodge and New Lodge, Rathcoole, do you know how many pupils transferred from Rathcoole last year or Kilcooley and Bangor? These figures are staggering. They're appalling. We should be so culpable. We're all culpable and guilty of abdication here, Frank. And this is tokenism. We're getting this tokenism now probably from the government, tilting their hats towards the Shankill and these places, you know. It's a joke.
Eamon, you always raise plenty for discussion. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Eamon Malley, political commentator. And, you know, I've been doing this programme, in fairness to him, for I think it's 8 years now. And I have read Traffic and Travel every morning, and it hasn't crossed my mind. It hasn't. I've just sort of presumed, if I even thought about it, you presume the other roads are clear enough and there isn't a problem on them. But I'm just looking again at this morning. There's a list of roads: the Craigie Road, the Lisburn Road, the Malone Road, the Grosvenor Road, the Donegal Road, and the city centre streets are all referred to. The M1, the M2, the A2 coming in from Hollywood Exchange, the Annadale Avenue area and the Outer Ring, the Craigie Road, Lisburn Road, Malone Road, Grosvenor Road, Donegal Road, all been mentioned many, many times before. Cromock Street towards Victoria Street, city centre, Upper Newton Arch Road, forever gets mentioned, coming in from Stormont all the time. Plenty of references too from the Culloden Hotel, that main road through Hollywood up towards the Hollywood Exchange. Many's a time we have referred to those highways and byways on the Traffic and Travel. I have never, in fairness to Eamon Malley, I have never, and we get this from a central source in Belfast with the cameras, I have never seen the Falls or the Shankill referred to when it comes to traffic and travel. Is it because there's never a hold up on them, or do those in charge of the cameras basically not give a hoot as to whether you're coming along the Falls or the Shankill?